that space is okay. And that was a big truck.
That was a big truck.
That's the beauty of editing stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I'm having a conversation with Paul Howery today. He is a belonging coach and evangelist for heart-based leadership. I'm really excited about this conversation. I'm excited about all the conversations I have, but this is definitely something a little bit different, a little bit new for you guys. Paul works in what we call today organizational psychology. They didn't call it that back in the day when he started. It's been a little while, and so he's going to tell you guys a little bit more about that later. But first off, we're going to start off our episode with a little toast. We are on spot recording at The Spot in West Seattle today, where Paul and I met just by happenstance while I was recording a previous episode with the owner of The Spot, Philip. And yeah, so Paul and I got to talking, and it just seemed like a great opportunity for us to get a conversation out there for you guys to hear. How you doing, Paul?
Doing fantastic. I think we should start with the cheers of the Bavik Pilsner.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so This is the signature Pilsner that they serve here at The Spot called Bavik. And it's a Czech Pilsner, is that right? Super Pils? But phenomenal stuff. It's super clean and bright and refreshing, and it's the best summer beer I have literally ever found.
You know, I'm going to have to roll with you on that too, because it doesn't have the bitter. It has a nice little sweet to it. And it is so refreshing.
Yes, seriously.
Philip, man, he scored big by making this the primary beer of The Spot.
Mm-hmm.
Although they have a ton of other things too. But man, right. This goes good.
Yep, nice sweet and savory waffles, all that stuff. Go back and listen to the episode with Philip Sidore from The Spot. But for now, we're going to get into a killer conversation with Paul here. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, Paul?
I'm a human sciences dork. That's nice. Really what it comes down to. My approach has always been to find the better human place for people. And my mom will tell a story from when I was in kindergarten at about 5 years old. I left my own birthday party because someone couldn't make it.
Mm.
So she's got a house of kids without me, and this is pre-cell phones by a long time, where'd my son go? It's his birthday party.
Yeah.
He apparently went down the street and hung out with
the kid who couldn't show up.
The kid who couldn't make it, and which meant that I also got in trouble for leading my birthday party.
Started out with a big heart.
I'm a people science dork. The things that make us tick to go to the better place.
Mm-hmm.
Fully also aware of the things that take us to our dark places that scare the crap out of us.
Right, yeah.
And I ended up in college doing a social sciences degree and went through all sorts of different work kind of approaches. As a mechanic, as a records processor, as a building maintenance and repair person, a construction guy, a technology guy.
So was this over like a short period of time where you tried a bunch of different things?
No, it's actually the I will do anything to survive kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And so
until you can get yourself where you want to be, that type thing. Or
so this is the crazy kind of kicker thing. I've always had this approach of wherever you are, if you're doing the right things and you're in the right space for your own heart, you're probably in the right place.
Yeah.
And so that allows you to not get stuck in the aspirational dream where if you're so far off and you can't feel a path, and I use the term feel, Because seeing a path doesn't make you feel the path.
Yeah.
And that's the part that gets in the way. So if you don't feel that path and it's there and you're in the good space to get to it, that aspiration just becomes a fear.
Gotcha.
And that pretty much F's you up.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
And so wherever you are.
You don't have to censor yourself. It's okay.
Oh, okay. Then it fucks you up. There you go.
I've heard you talk outside of this podcast. You don't have to censor yourself.
Yes. My wife and I both talk like sailors or truckers, whatever your preference is. So when I was, I was a building maintenance mechanic at Seattle Pacific University for a bunch of years. I took that time to learn from all these brilliant artisans in the trades. Pause for trucking bypass. I swear, actually, I should say pausing for a fucking truck. There we go. And took that as a chance to learn from these wonderful people. I mean, I was there for years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it put me in a position to get a super discounted rate, because I'm an employee at the university, for my master's.
Yeah.
And so
that's awesome. Wow.
Now, what I also learned was a real brotherhood/sisterhood. And once again, to go back to the people sides of things, I'm learning technical elements for how to do plumbing, drywall, electrical, locksmith, welding, you name it. But for me, the real part of it that was great was having somebody who is an absolute artisan take me under his or her wing to learn how to do something that I was never known. And that put me in a position to, hey, what if I start my own construction company with some people? And that tribe that I had there was a place of belonging. And where what's critical about that is belonging puts you in the space so that the aspiration can be achieved.
Gotcha.
Outside of it, you're functioning alone. And going solo, that fucks up with our brain. I mean, that really does, because our brains are made to be together.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you look at the neurology that actually exists between the nervous system in your heart, your gut, and your head, because they're all interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
That space, when it's together and you're with people, it puts you in a place where even the stress you're feeling is an achievable stress.
Gotcha. Versus
the stress
because it's manageable with people to deal with it.
Exactly.
As a group.
And this basically puts you in place. We're always in three spots. We're in fear. That doesn't matter what you say. If someone says they're never in fear, they're just lying. flat out. Mm-hmm. Because the moment you're second guessing, that's just an act of fear.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And we do that because we hate to fail. It fucking sucks.
Yeah. It's also kind of a natural response too. I mean, it's an instinctual response to fear negative outcomes.
It's the response to keep us alive.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Survival instinct.
It's like, hey, yeah, fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have lots of cliffs that we can fall off. So in this space, when we get into this element of belonging, we know someone has our back. Plus, we have the pooled elements, whether it's intellectual or whether it's emotional or physical, that can help us go to that just badass cool place.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good overview about what you do. So you've been on a pretty interesting path these last few years.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. In terms of starting your own business, going, you know, in and out of actual working for a corporation as well, right?
Yep. I in the quick job history from going to school, starting a tech company and a construction company. Quitting both, becoming a teacher. I'm just going to do the quick history.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Being hired away from teacher into a tech company. IT director 14 years, head of people and culture for almost 3 years. M&A, and then I guess it's time to start my own.
Yeah, nice.
And that's the linear cycle of it. The emotional cycle of it is doing it as an individual with someday to grow the business, mm-hmm. or getting back in tribe with another organization. Because I have dabbled in this last 4 years with, do I join a company or not?
Yeah, I love that term, in tribe. Yeah. That's really cool, getting in tribe with. That's a great way to describe that. So now you're doing your own thing.
Yep.
Right. And just like me, started it right before the pandemic. And so things have gotten put on hold a little bit, right?
There's a whole bunch of holds. and they're not the fun climbing holds.
Right.
No, that's the kind of interesting part, because you have to, I'm going to go off back on tribe for a second. Going out solo, you have to change your model of tribe, because your tribe, when you have a company, is there's this organization that is your paycheck, and you're there, they're invested in you, they're paying you. When you go solo, you have to find a way to pay yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And at the same time, if you stay just in yourself, you're limited to just yourself. That
right.
means in what you can reach, what you can experience, what you can really be badass about.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, I had to go through and rewrite tribe. My first phases of it were, oh, I don't have my old marketing team. I don't have my old human resource team.
I am marketing. I am human resources.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit. And the reason that I had hired people in the past, the reason that I had hired certain people is because they're better than me. Matter of fact, that was my criterion. I would not hire somebody that I didn't see a attitude or higher potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like I hired a recruiter fully aware that in 3 years I expect her to be my replacement as the chief people person. And here we go. And that was the key thing, was to actually realize that she had a zeal and a natural innate space in her attributes and her character that led to making this inviting place with really high standards.
Mm, yeah.
And a lot of people they think that you can only have invitation and like and warmth. You can't bring the high standards, because that means you have to talk about, hey, you didn't quite make that mark.
Right.
And there's two ways to approach. How do you not make the mark? And I'll bring this back to, as an individual working, is if you're not making that mark, you either, you come to it from a critical standpoint, or you come to it from a way to get somebody to go to that higher place. And she was naturally going to get to that higher place. I loved it, and that's how I saw, this is how it's gonna go.
Yeah.
So when you go solo though, you don't have those people at instant connect right there. And so you have to figure it out.
Right.
And the thing that happened now is we had this, everything got put on hold. And you can have,
how you doing?
Did you put your dog?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Here you go.
Yeah. Oh my God. She's asleep. She's very safe.
Nice. Cute, huh?
Mm-hmm. She's a little sweetheart. So is your daughter. And so in building your business, you have to find those people we'll call this pre-COVID, just to backtrack the timeline a little bit.
Yeah.
In building your business, you have to create that tribe around you, but it's, you can't have one that you just get and you can take for granted.
Right. And you have to foster those relationships.
You have to build those.
Build trust and all that with strangers or with, exactly.
And basically it's three T's. Tribe takes time.
Oh, wow. I like that.
And there's no other way around it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we've seen each other a few times hanging out here in the spot, and there's a good vibe and everything else. For us to be in real good business in a long-term situation, we'd have to take the time to experience and build the oxytocin and the serotonin that become associative of us actually doing work together.
Right.
And having each other's backs.
Right. And the positive results that come from all of
that. That's where now you're building tribe. And what happens all the time is you meet someone, and because we are neurobiologically predisposed to somebody that we connect with on an instant,
mm-hmm.
to go, hey, all right, let's do something.
Yeah.
Because one, that's how we survived the saber-toothed tiger.
Yep.
I mean, it's that simple.
That's funny, yep.
And so now going forward, here we are, and we're like, oh, shit, I can't go talk to somebody. I can't go have meetings with people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do something different. And then what happened here in our world is we got technology that enabled us to bridge that the viral saber-toothed tiger that exists. We can overcome it.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, if you follow along with the dark blue and you have not tried Sheath underwear yet, what are you actually doing with your life? Get on www.sheathunderwear.com. Save yourself a lot of rubbing, a lot of chafing, and a little bit of money with promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE. You'll save yourself 25%, and a portion of your purchase also goes to help us build our network of men's groups at independent breweries all around the country. So let's make this happen, guys. Get on sheathunderwear.com.
I think this will be a good time to move into talking about some things that people can do in terms of building their tribe and building their career and that sort of thing, and things that individuals can do to help themselves make that happen.
Let's start with that help themselves. And this is one of probably the biggest help themselves component. And it will relate to tribe. I have a habit of sort of being the belonging coach. but it is a self-understood space, which is we live the story we tell ourselves.
Right, absolutely.
And who we let add material to that story is really, really important, because as you move forward, you're telling yourself what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish. And it's very easy to look at somebody else out there and judge yourself by that story.
Oh,
yeah. You've accidentally put them in as an editor to your story.
Yeah.
And so,
especially on like social media.
Oh, God.
Something that's so easy to do.
Because it's so easy.
Like, you know, I interact with different guys every day, all the time, and everybody's doing something a little bit different, right? But it's still, and I've had even several conversations with some of the other guys about this, and how it's so easy to compare yourself to what other people are doing, and the responses that other people are getting, and all of these things. And it's like, and it's taking the focus off of what they're doing and focusing more on what you're doing and getting the result you want. Right?
So no, this is so it. So for example, I'll give you an example of me just recently. I was invited for Seattle TEDx, but I just missed the cut. And one of my dear friends, actually, she got to do her TEDx over at Singapore. And it's just like, And my immediate feeling is blank. Now, here's where the kicker is. It's not about ignoring all that space. It's actually about editing who gets to come into your space to contribute to your story.
Yeah.
And what it comes down to is this. Before you let any thought come in your head like that, it's to say, have they actively contributed to my life personally?
Right.
If they haven't done that, they don't get to write your fucking story for you.
That's awesome.
And that's, this is where, like, I'm going to be meeting later today with two coaches that we've got a triad where we help each other as we develop our business practice in the COVID time. So in that process, they commit time. They provide the encouragement, they provide the guidance and maybe help correction. And those are two voices that I will let into my editorial story and help me write.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I say, you have to put the criterion, like, I love Gary Vee's stuff, but he doesn't go, hey, Paul, how's it going? What are you working on? What can I help with? What can I support you with? And it's not to rank on Gary. I think he's really fun and cool. But if I start judging myself based upon what he's saying to various persons, even if there's somebody who might have a life situation like my own, that's not somebody who's directly contributing to my life. AKA, you're out now. You don't get to edit my story.
right.
And so that's the first part, is define who you're letting in.
For sure. And it's a different thing to let somebody influence you, I think. And whether it's their negative or positive behaviors, negative, positive things they say, to let somebody influence how you move forward, compared to letting them write or be part of your story.
Right. And that's exactly. And that's a nuance. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at that. And so we're supposed to write a story of danger. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't fall off cliffs.
Right.
Or touch a hot stove again. And so
it's the Odyssey or the Divine Comedy, or this is what we're expected to be. Yeah.
And it's how it works.
Yeah.
And so the key is, because we're always told, at least here in our traditional work culture, you're responsible. You're on your own. It's individual.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of fuck that.
Yeah. No. Oh, I agree. I felt that way always in school too. Like
Same thing in school.
I had a statistics professor in college who was like, you guys are never going to work alone in the workplace. You're doing this test together. So we would have groups of four working on our statistics tests, because he was like, in the workforce, it doesn't make sense to expect that you're going to have this completely on your own.
You were so lucky to have even had that experience.
Absolutely.
No, so here's the crazy part. In the work world, that's still only about 30%.
Mm.
The rest of it is you're individually responsible. If you don't do your job, you're fired. Mm. You are a transactional employee.
Gotcha.
You're a commodity at that point.
Yep.
And in the reality of it, and this is what we have to navigate and walk around, but if the work doesn't support I'll just call it a space of belonging.
Yeah.
Because in tribe, and that's also why I like the word tribe, in tribe, the survival and the making the tribe go farther, better, faster is always a corporal situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you work and you help each other. Somebody comes up and you know that they're going to be the best hunter or the best gatherer in the space. They can figure out where the food is or where the best alignments are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the togetherness. And that's not normal in business.
Right.
I mean, it just isn't. You meet a cube right next to somebody, and you've actually, just because of the reward system that's set, you're actually in competition.
Yeah.
Not in collaboration.
Yeah, and which is very unfortunate.
Conflict in competition doesn't pull people together.
Mm-hmm.
Conflict in collaboration does. And in both cases, you will always have conflict because two different perspectives. Like you and I, here we are sitting in this space. We have two different perspectives, and we're going to see things. Our voices are going to come across this microphone in a different manner.
Yep.
And that is always the case. From those perspectives are going to be, no, we should do this. No, we should do that. And collaboration will always make it happen. And so will the competition. The question is, which one will move you forward?
Right, exactly. And that's one of the things that I have, I have a theory that if more business people recognize the long-term benefit of developing a team that works together,
right,
their long-term income would increase so drastically, because there's more investment and there's more, like, there's just more ownership in that process, because people are happy to do what they're doing.
There is so much data to support that. I have a business, one of my business cards says, happy people make cool shit. unhappy people don't do yours.
Yeah.
But that is the reality. And now let's go to the back to the space of with individuals starting their own company.
Yeah.
You have to find your extended tribe.
Yep. And this is for all my coach friends out there. I know some of you guys are listening, you online mindset coaches and things like that. Listen to this, because this is going to be good information.
God, you set that up big. Damn. I hope this is good. There was the inner itty bitty shitty committee.
The little fear that said.
Yeah, this came right into play just then. So getting that tribe, and you'll know which ones. There will be those that are looking at you as a commodity. What can Paul do to make me go farther?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what can we do to go farther together. Or it's also not what can I do to help Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And belonging is the two-way street. And so you measure your movement that you can do long-term, because relationships take time. Tribe takes time.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it.
That actually is one good piece of advice I've heard from Gary Vee is, if I'm not offering anything of value to you, why should you give a fuck about me?
Right. And then so Gary, yes, I do like, and I have read your book and so on. Just, we don't have a personal connection. Claude Silver, though, we do have a personal connection. And Claude, I love you. You're amazing. She is the chief heart officer for Vayner.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's awesome.
And she's super cool. But it's setting the space for that. So one of the groups that I've taken part in is the Winnie Sun Tweet Chat Tribe. And Winnie Sun she was one of the top women financial consultants out there in the world. She's got her television shows. But we have this Tweet Chat Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We show up, we meet, we help each other, we learn from each other, we promote each other. My very first podcast interview was a guy named John Lim.
Mm-hmm.
Be Moving Forward, because of his support, I have been helped. I hope that my saying John Lim is a great thing, because his podcasts are amazing.
Nice. So what's the name of his podcast?
Be Moving Forward.
Be Moving Forward by John Lim.
Yeah, so, John Lim. Moving,
good resource. Saying, good resource.
I think it's actually Moving Forward. When I look at the thing, it says Be Moving Forward.
Gotcha.
Moving Forward. And so it's MF Podcast, which I love. Sorry, John.
It's the motherfucking Moving Forward.
Yeah, it
podcast.
Is. It really is. So creating and extending yourself, and that means you have to go and be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
There is no real relationship without vulnerability.
Yeah, that's
and so
very true.
It's reaching out and making a connection. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's the foundation then of building a business, starting a business, is creating those foundations?
Oh, you have to. Well, actually,
creating those relationships, I mean.
Take it back. If you want to be a commodity in and of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you're flying absolute solo, then you can live with your limitations of just you.
Yeah.
And this is, everybody has the ability to be just fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
But our fucking brilliance comes out of usually the relationships that we make and connect with somebody, where we come together and we're like, God, I want to do this. Oh, I suck at that. Oh, wait a minute. Zach is fucking amazing at this.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to call Zach. Boom. Into the space. Now it's deeper and there's more you can do. You can still do this as an individual entrepreneur also and build those relationships that you can take and go forward.
Yeah.
But you have to go to those spaces, which means you have to show up mm-hmm. without the facade. I mean, years ago, because I'm old, I'm the last of the baby boomers.
Okay.
Yeah, actual last technically.
Like almost Gen X.
No, I'm done. The 64 is, you're a baby boomer.
Gotcha. Okay.
65, oh, you're Gen X.
Yeah. Okay.
But you have to go and engage and meet and make those connections, because otherwise you're going to have to stay within your limits.
Yeah.
Your limits. You might have the most brilliant ideas, but it's going to take several people to put a man on the moon, or now put a person on Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, how awesome do you want to be? Well, if we were going to figure something out, and I need a skill or an attitude from Zach, a Zachitude, then I'm going to have to rely on that, because it's going to make this glimmer of a world of what if happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with me.
Gotcha.
And that's the important thing of going out on your own, is to make those connections.
Mm-hmm. And you're not technically going out. You're not actually going out on your own, is the thing.
No, you're not.
Ideally.
Yeah. No, you know, yeah, you know, it's true. Like, here I am. I'm an individual. My company's Hardface Leading.
Yeah.
But it's Devin Craig, who is one of the best leaders I've known. He's out of Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
And he's just brilliant. Actually, inspiration out of spot from Philip, who just walked by.
What's up, Philip?
Yeah.
You can't see my waving right now, but I'm doing that to you.
setting up these things. The Shift Up group with Evan Green. These are people that we're doing stuff together, yet we're individuals in belonging.
Yeah.
And that's when the greatness, that's when the tribe happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. So apart from creating your tribe as a business leader or business owner, or even in like a corporation, I feel like you need to do the same thing, is kind of build that tribe, meet the people that you can trust who can help you move forward in what you're doing in your career, right? My previous job that I was working for, it was a huge company, right? Huge company. But we still had the ability to connect with people who could help us to develop into the positions we wanted to get to,
right?
So that's super important, I think, and no matter, regardless of what you're doing, whether it's starting your own business or working in a company as, you know, even a bottom level employee, it's totally fine if that's whatever works for your life, right? I'm by nature, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like working for other people. It's not fun for me.
I gotta tell you, even non-entrepreneurial spirits don't like to be told what to do.
True, but they can find joy in their suffering, though. I've noticed a lot of times.
Hold on. Do you not find joy in your suffering?
No. I don't. I find joy after the suffering.
Oh, that's something I'm gonna have to ponder.
But yeah, I mean, because I've worked with people who can do that job day in, day out, and go home and complain about it, drink a beer on the weekend, and like that's kind of a pastime for them, is complaining about the job,
right?
And not changing anything, right?
Yeah.
Not actually finding a way to change the things they're complaining about. It's just they do the job, mm-hmm. and they complain, and they're okay with that.
Which goes to that point. We'll find a way to survive in the environment that we find ourselves.
Right, right. And then
this is the entrepreneurial difference. So you're unwilling, unwilling to be satisfied with that discontent, or maybe malcontent.
Yeah, I think malcontent's good. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Whereas, it's like, some people are okay as long as they're getting the paycheck, right?
Because they're living for something else.
Right, exactly. Maybe it's taking care of their kids.
Yeah.
Or going fishing on the weekend and not having to worry about where they're going to get their money, right? Like, you know you're going to get that paycheck so you can go fishing on the weekend. That's awesome.
And the funny thing is, that is okay.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? If you get done with your 8 hours, hopefully it's only 8 hours worth of work, because once you start going into the 10 to 12 and you're giving up that very life with your family you want to spend.
Unless you're working a shorter week.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Or 10, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so in the past, when I was head of people and culture, you would have somebody who has that entrepreneurial kind of soul, but they want to impose that. Man, they don't have this desire to get to this place and make the product this way.
Yeah.
And then they end up creating a painful environment for somebody. And that person will endure that for the sake of what they truly love.
Yeah, yeah.
That setting should never be said to that person who really just wants to till the soil in that space and be okay with that, and then go love and be with family.
Yeah, right.
Or friends or whatever.
Right.
But it's amazing how often that isn't what translates.
Mm-hmm.
It's a manager or a senior leader or even a CEO is like, no, I want them to be like me. Now, I'm going to give this, another Gary Vee call out. Damn it. I love that there's one of the Gary Vee things where he goes, I never expect somebody to work as hard as me. And that's not a judgment and saying they're not working hard enough. It's that this is what he loves.
Right.
And so they're working the space for what they love. And as long as it takes them to what they want and what's fulfilling and good and deep in their world,
yeah,
then that's what it should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For sure.
I just want to clarify that, because you and I being both the kind that are going, no, this isn't good enough. I mean, that's why you went on your own.
Yeah.
I saw myself going with this. Mine just got accelerated due to an M&A.
Yeah,
but
right.
I had already been going, this person's going to replace me in my job.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I'll still be in the same place, but I'm going to do something more. And that's to go in the tripart of our everyday existence. We're always in fear. We're always in a state of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And a positive, affirming state is where we neurobiologically are our best. And we're always in aspiration.
Yeah.
You know? No. It, at home, I just was with this talking to a CEO. It was awesome. I says, you don't think your person's aspirational at work? And she's like, no. And it was just funny. It's like, well, if they're dreaming about being in the Bahamas while they're sitting on the job, because it's not an engaging place, it's not a caring place.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, what do you mean? I said, no, just go with me on this. They're aspiring to be somewhere else that's better and happier for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're aspirational. It's just not in the environment that you're setting. They're choosing to live to the lowest common denominator of what you created.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just
they're a drone at that point.
They're drone.
Just doing what they have to do to get the paycheck.
But that's the aspiration is still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's whether or not it's being met.
Right. Yeah, and it's like it's a matter of engaging your people or even engaging yourself to have your aspirations within what you're doing, or for your aspirations to be somewhere completely different because you hate what you're doing.
Yeah, right. But you're gonna have them knowing. And the key for the a solo entrepreneur. I hate the word solopreneur. I really do.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna call it a solo entrepreneur, individual entrepreneur.
Mm.
Is to always reframe your space of how is this moving me into that aspiration? Is this getting me there? And because in the moment, because it's painful or monotonous or droning, or because I don't have this guy who's a fucking wizard with me anymore as my marketing guy who understands pipelines and funnels and all that cool shit.
Right, yeah.
Then I have to go, all right, what can I do that's in my control, in my space? And I have to reframe that as, this is moving me closer.
Nice.
And that means it could be building a relationship, hanging out with a cool guy in a coffee shop, doing a podcast, any of those things. But you have to go there, again, back to that mindset, the story you're telling yourself. Am I constantly rewriting my story to move forward?
Yeah.
This morning, I was like, oh, fucking COVID. One of my contracts lost its funding because they lost their funding for their company.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, whoa. And so I went with the tribe that I'm, it's called this Extraordinary Life Group. We've all been senior positions in business, growing. Some are new, just joining those positions. And we met this morning. And it was nice to be in a place where I could be, oh, fuck. And we all were in the, oh, fuck. And then we, because we're together, neurobiologically, we feel less of the, oh, fuck.
Commiserating together feels better.
No, I'm going to take a different model. It wasn't the bitching circle.
Yeah.
What it was the, we're in the Valley Circle, and we all had these mountains that we're going to have to come out of the valley, and then we're going to have to climb the mountain.
Yeah.
And they were basically kind of a perspectives of hope from being down in this, oh, fuck place.
Yeah.
And that changes your ability to go, all right, so where can I can take my next step that just moves me up?
Nice. That's really cool.
Now, to go back to that, as you're an individual out there, make these connections you can meet with regularly. If you don't meet regularly, the impact is intermittent.
I want to talk a little bit about then what are some things that we can do to make sure that that progress is happening? Like, what are some measures we can put in place to actually make sure that we're not getting stagnant and we're not getting to this place where we're just accepting what is and
right.
finding our aspirations elsewhere?
Okay, so the most easy path is to look at your, narrow your goals down first. Because we, neurobiologically, we have the ability to focus on one thing that's complex at a time. If in our human existence, there became a new class of emergency room injury called looking at your cell phone, which, by the way, there's a whole classification that people can't even walk, look at their cell phone without walking into traffic, falling off a curb, falling off a cliff, aka some of the social media, and taking this great picture, and wow, I wonder what that picture looks like at the bottom. But it's neurobiological. We don't get to focus on more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
So pick 1 to 2, 3 goals at max that you want to accomplish.
Gotcha. That's
good. And because otherwise you're going to create competing spaces in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to lead to paralysis, because then it's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. Oh, what if I don't do this? And then I don't do that. I do this and I can't do this. And this creates this cycle of shame and failure.
Yeah, you're shooting yourself in the foot, essentially.
Yeah. But then at the same time, you're evaluating yourself as I suck,
mm-hmm.
instead of, oh.
Because I'm not achieving.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that came up in one of today's group meetings with when people, my digital tribe that I hang out with in this COVID time.
Yeah.
So to that end, you have to put yourself in a place where you're willing to be vulnerable. And that means I can have a goal for myself. I can say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this at a certain time. And that you have to make a commitment. You have to have a time. This is going to get to the how to do lead measures.
Yeah.
The term. But as long as it's only to yourself, it's usually a statement of intent. I want to do this, because when it comes right down to it, fear of failure will come into play and you'll avoid it. It's really simple. You don't touch a hot stove over and over.
Right.
Your emotions are the same way. Ah, bad emotion. I'm not going to go there. And then you avoid it. So the way you get around that is you set these things that you want to achieve. Have to be a narrow set. Give it a time-bound state, and you have to reach out to somebody to be accountable to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can hold you accountable. They can hold you responsible for a commitment you made to them and choose to be with you or not be with you because you fulfilled that commitment or not.
Yeah, totally.
But your accountability is personal, and it's you, and you have to, and that's it.
Yeah.
We do accountability best with someone that we trust and whom we belong.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's interesting because I find myself with like the things that, like the goals that I have, the ones that I tell people when they ask me, how are you doing? What are you up to? Right. When I answer that question with, I'm doing this, those are the things that I actually do.
Right. No.
Compared to the things that I keep to myself. And like, so I have dreams to travel to Australia one day, right?
You're going to love it.
Okay. So sure. I want to go to Australia one day, just like you're saying. But when people are asking me, hey, what are you up to? What's going on in your life? And you're like, yeah, I'm making plans to go to Australia.
Yeah.
You start speaking that into existence. And it's almost.
Oh, I love that. Oh, what a frame. Sorry. Speaking that into existence.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're with somebody and you actually tell and you bring that story to life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh my God, I just love that. That's such a cool term. You've actually spoken it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, it only existed, even though you said you're going to do it, it stays in this private space.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it goes nowhere.
Yeah. But then when you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to Australia next year, they're going to ask you, how are your plans for Australia going?
And
you're going to be like, I haven't made any plans yet. I guess I should get on that.
And so if it's okay, let's go back. If Australia is one of those two things that you keep in focus, those are your key objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so you keep it. So what are you doing? And so interesting thing, plan is a scarcity mindset term.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the plan. In other words, if the plan is broken, you're failed. Or you haven't achieved it or whatever. Now, objectives are achieved. What are you doing to get to that objective? Now it's like, I haven't done anything yet. I need to do something. Plan requires you to go through and go into a fear mitigation space. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and go, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if?
Yeah.
Objectives are, how do I make progress to that space? We got to get to the objective. So we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to shift, and we're going to move. In objectives, you work on your skills and abilities to move you.
Yep.
In plans, you're setting circumstances that, I'm sorry, they never work out that way.
Yep.
I mean, the ancient Jewish proverb of God laughs at all the plans of men.
Yeah, exactly.
And so,
for sure.
And so speaking that into existence with your digital tribe,
mm-hmm,
draws a line in the sand that now you've chosen to be vulnerable to, I'm going to do this because I spoke it into existence.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're going to say, what am I doing that's going to move me towards that objective? I'm avoiding the term plan at this point.
Right.
I'm using the language of my actions to move me towards the objective. And it's like, oh, I need to do that daily.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what happens with lead measures. If you're trying to lose weight or trying to gain weight and have some purpose, and you just measure yourself at the end of each week, you're doing nothing to move the needle either direction.
Yeah.
Now, if you say, I'm going to participate, and I'm going to pull this into it's an individual in business during COVID, where you don't get to go just hang out with somebody.
Yeah.
So in that space, what you do is you reach out, you join a group that is willing to contribute to your life so that you can let them be editors in your story.
Right. But also be willing to contribute to their lives.
Exactly. Belonging is a two-way street. Thank you for saying that, because people define belonging as, I felt like I belong when I showed up this company. Okay. My next question is, what did you do to make everybody else belong in that company?
Yeah.
So because that's tribe.
Yes.
But setting yourself up, so mine could be, for example, I've got to switch my in-person platform that I had for developing company culture and coaching and belonging,
mm-hmm,
to
virtual.
Virtual.
Yeah.
So I need to then reach out and retool stuff in Zoom, because that's my primary tool that I would use.
Yeah.
To make those connections with people. And that means I have to spend time, you know, daily, every other daily, but I have to commit to the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two coaches that I'm going to meet with later today, where I'm going to go, here's what I did to get to, in your terms, Australia.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. And so by doing those, you know, what do I say in the short moment? Oh, it's another meeting with somebody.
Yeah.
No, it's building those connections in the long run that when I measure, it's like, am I moving closer to my goal of a certain number of clients in a certain space in a certain time?
Yeah.
I'm taking these steps. So here's where it works out great. If I'm taking steps and I'm measuring and I'm not seeing the needle move, then it's not the plan I have to change. I need to adjust. No, I'm not changing the goals either. Not necessarily. What I'm doing is I now need to adjust my lead measure actions.
Mm, okay.
Because what I was doing, which I thought was going to move the needle.
I see, yeah, right.
It didn't move the needle. So I need to do something different. Now, because I'm not locked into a plan, follow the plan, I'm now going, all right, I'm going to adjust this and shift to make it this way.
Yep.
The nice thing about this is I don't have to readjust and change a whole plan because my objective is still my objective.
Yeah.
Australia is still Australia.
But and how I'm getting there has changed.
It's slightly different.
I'm going to take a boat instead of a plane.
Yeah. So it's a slightly different set of actions or whatever.
Yeah.
And so this is the space that you go to. Like getting up this morning and, you know, I thought, well, I could do some individual work on some things, or I could reach out to the contacts I needed to do. Or I run this seminar about fear, belonging, and aspiration, how to understand that in your workplace so that you can actually build a culture that helps people belong and work with their fears and really strengthen their aspirations as opposed to making it so that you're always in fear at both ends.
Man, I feel like we could sit here and talk
all day.
I love this conversation. I feel like this is a good space to call it for now because we have established Build a Tribe, create objectives, and we had one.
You could say create vulnerable accountability.
There you go.
When you said this, speaking that into, I mean, so I have a master's in literature and theology.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
And so,
that's a whole other podcast right there.
But so understand, that's how God did. God spoke things into existence.
Uh huh.
That's actually in the ancient.
As it is written,
tradition.
As it shall be. As it shall be done.
And he said it, and it was.
Yeah.
He spoke things into existence. That is the actual.
That's a really cool connection. That's a really cool connection. Yeah. I love that. So, yes. Find your tribe. Speak things into existence.
I'm sorry. That's so cool.
And create goals.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Right?
And really tie the speaking into existence into that vulnerable relationship of your tribe that you're making.
Absolutely.
And it just takes time. This is the thing people don't, they're going to go, I didn't get anything out of this amount.
In how long? Six months?
Right. It's like, did you put anything into it?
Yeah, exactly. So what would be some final words for our listeners that you would have on this topic?
Are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is do it.
Yeah, okay. we're still recording, man. Okay. This is happening.
I would say start creating and finding your tribe. And these are the people that you feel, you own, and you care for. Key thing, they do the same thing for you.
Yep.
Being a sacrificial lamb is a sacrificial lamb. It dies.
Yep.
You're there to make them better. They're there to make you better.
Absolutely.
And we live in a COVID space. So figure out how to make that connection and get there. And that means you're going to have to be vulnerable. Because the only time, and I'm going to go back to that thing you said earlier, when things exist is when you speak them into existence with somebody that you're willing to commit to.
Yep, that's very true.
And that's your tribe.
Yeah.
So I would say do that, you move forward, and you do things larger than yourself.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Cheers,
thanks for the chat, man. Cheers.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving to foster a community of peers which empowers mental wellness, positive growth, and social awareness. If you like what we're doing and would like to support our community, you can purchase a pint glass or t-shirt from Sheath Underwear via the link on our merch tab at www.intothedarkblue.com or message us to make a one-time donation. All proceeds go to men's mental wellness initiatives. If you ever need a listening ear, feel free to message us on the website or at @into_the_dark_blue on Instagram. If you have an emergency or need help from a professional therapist, we offer several resources on our Get Help page. Last but not least, know your limits and drink smart. Cheers.